The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Our next 30 for 30 film is titled The Greatest Mixtape Ever. It premieres tomorrow at 8 Eastern on ESPN. The story of how VHS tapes, kids, look it up, DJs, streetball players, transformed the culture of basketball in the 90s, available on ESPN Plus immediately following the premiere. And on this Memorial Day, it's the end of Fleet Week in New York, and you're looking live at the East River here in Manhattan, where a Coast Guard cutter, the Beluga, is sailing right by our studio here at Pier 17. Approximately 2,500 sailors, Marines, Coast Guardsmen, NATO allies are participating in Fleet Week this year, and we, of course, thank them for their service. And on this Memorial Day, we remember all of the brave men and women of our military who've made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. As we welcome you back to Get Up, coming to you live from the Seaport and brought to you by Chase, Hannah Storm in for Greeny, along with the great Amari Stoudemire, Alan Hahn, and Monica McNutt. And we are all taking Get Up very literally today because we were all up very late
watching
this game, the game of the night, Game 7 in Miami. And, well, they just kept coming back from double-digit Boston leads. Bam Adebayo with the alley-oop. He had 25 points and 11 rebounds in this one. Take it away, Alan.
Well, the Celtics, it was always in the series who got off to the better start. And it was the Celtics in this game that got off to the better start, especially in that first quarter. Dominant.
Yep, and then here in the second, again.
Jimmy Butler had 18 points in that second quarter. He had another 20-point half. And things really did change for the Heat in that second quarter where it looked like the Celtics were going to take a comfortable lead at halftime. It was close to start the half. And then Bam Adebayo had it going. As you mentioned, he had a big game scoring-wise at 25 and 11 on that alley-oop. Mm-hmm. And this fourth quarter where it starts to unravel for Boston and the possessions late, Amari, were questionable. Now, this was not questionable. Tough shot after tough shot. Tatum hits this. There was a point where it felt like, all right, the game's over, but it wasn't. Jimmy Butler drives here and scores, and little by little they start whittling away, and possessions are bad for the Celtics. Although, again, as I say that, there's another Tatum
shot.
They
just kept answering every time. It looked like the Heat were going to make it close.
He's the one time
the
Kyle
Celtics
Lowry didn't fall
answer.
Down.
Yeah, there was Kyle Lowry, and then...
Yeah, it was 11-0 run. That's an offensive foul, Amari, or is that a play-on?
Yeah, what did you think of that?
I mean, I think it's a play-on. I mean, if he goes verticality, I don't think he went too far outside of his normal reach. I think it was a play-on.
How about Struce that shot by Struce?
Yes. Two-point
that
game.
That was crazy, and then
Marcus Smart missed five straight shots. He was the only one taking shots late. He didn't make free throws.
But this was the key to the game right here. So Jimmy Butler, guarded by Horford, he goes for three. It doesn't drop. He decides not to drive, not to go for the tie, but leaves it all out there, attempts the three. It doesn't fall, and the Celtics are back in the finals. Look at Bam, the total frustration. There's your Larry Bird MVP, Jason Tatum, back in the finals for the first time since 2010. They will meet the Warriors on Thursday in San Francisco. Meanwhile, Butler asked about his late decision to take that shot.
The thought process was go for the win, which I did. Missed a shot, but I'm taking that shot. My teammates liked the shot that I took, so I'm living with it.
When he shot that, I was like, man, what the hell? But he missed. We get the rebound. We move on.
And per second spectrum tracking, Jimmy Butler had a 29% chance to make that pull-up three with under 20 seconds remaining. Entering Sunday, he took just 19 pull-up three-pointers for the entire season. He only made six, attempted a season-high three pull-up threes in Game 7. He made just one of them, but he had hit that exact shot earlier in the game. Monica, you were there. How did it go down, and what did you think? Did he make the right decision?
I was fine with the decision in real time. You were like, oh, ooh, ah, like that. That was sort of what it emoted from me. Listen, it was a clean look. If anybody has the license to take that shot, it's Jimmy Butler. And I will add, you think of some of the shots that he hit in game six, and a large part of the charge in the second quarter and in the fourth was because of what Jimmy Butler does. And so you knew there was a sense of urgency about the Heat. The shot that Max Strus hit was a terrible shot if we're going to analyze shots as well. But that's where the Heat were in terms of relying on themselves, betting on themselves, and going for the jugular. I didn't have any problems with it. And I will also add, the way officiating had been going, as Amari just pointed out, he thought that the offensive foul on Jaylen Brown was just a play on in the playoffs. I don't know that you want to put that in the hands of the officials by attacking Al Horford in that way.
Hello, Amari, what did you think when you saw it?
I mean, I thought it was a good shot. I mean, I feel like, as your best player taking that shot is okay with me. And plus, you have a chance to get the ball back as well. With the time on the clock right now, you still can shoot that shot and get the ball back for one more shot, you know. So I thought it was a good shot.
Listen, if it falls, it's legendary, right? But don't, doesn't conventional wisdom say you play for the tie at home?
You play for the tie at home if you haven't played 48 minutes. If you play 48 minutes, you don't want five more.
So like
you want
this
game to end.
He was tired.
Absolutely.
And that's why you think it was
and
a
also,
good decision?
And also, the snow was rolling down the mountain. I mean, there was an avalanche happening here. That's 11-0 run. So you're riding the momentum of, I make this shot, I take the wind out of their sails. I mean, that's a gut punch if he makes that shot. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens in the last 15 seconds, the Celtics call timeout, they can bring the ball down, whatever. They've already felt that impact of a big shot like that. It was a legacy shot, it just didn't go in.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics allow the Heat back in this game. I mean, they went on an 11-0 run, as you mentioned. So now we're going to turn around. They're going to play the Golden State Warriors starting on Thursday, this experienced team that the core has won three titles already. What are your concerns, Amari, about the Heat about the Celtics going into the finals?
Yeah, you can't have those type of lapses, you know, especially against the Golden State Warriors. You know, you can't allow those guys to go on 11-0 runs. You have to be able to close out games, close out halves and quarters. All those little minor details are going to be imperative going into the finals, you know, because the Golden State Warriors are a team that's already been there, done that, right? They've been through the fire. They won championships. They see the ups and downs. They know the momentum shifts in the games, and they know how to manage those games. So for the Celtics, this is new for them. They have to tighten up now and think about how can we close out games? How can we make sure that Tatum has the ball down the stretch? And how can we get a good shot to close out halves and games?
I mean, Monica, you've been covering the East this whole time. Do you see any red flags when it comes to the Celtics going into this finals?
I think when you give up a run is more important. There are going to be some inevitable runs when you deal with the Golden State Warriors. But late in game, I mean, going into last night, they had been 1-4 in winning games that came down to clutch time decisions. And so they've got to figure out a way to shine when the game matters most. And a lot of it is going to come from Jason Tatum. But Ime Udoka has been steady as the day is long throughout this season. Y'all remember we wanted to split up Jalen and Jason, and throughout the series.
Yeah.
Each series, he continues to talk about how his team has grown. So, yes, while there was certainly some moments that had us doing double takes and side eyes, I do think that they will learn from both Game 6 and Game 7.
Right, yeah, talking about, I mean, you mentioned closing games and you mentioned Tatum in the same breath. What are you seeing in that regard, Alan?
Yeah, first of all, who's this we? Because not everybody wanted to break up those two guys. That's a smart thing to do.
Don't do that.
Keep them together. But who's this we, Monica? Are you French all of a sudden? Because I don't remember ever saying that. But
listen, it was said.
Some people, but you said we and this collective company. It, that would include
she was,
myself.
She was saying like the media family, maybe
you,
a few people.
Thank you, Hannah.
A few members of our, a few outliers in our family.
We'll talk offline about that, Monica. But
to Monica's point, they were really struggling. They had a losing record, and there was talk of breaking the two.
That's my concern. It's your home in game six, and you take a punch in the first quarter and you really don't recover from it. You miss some free throws that are critical free throws to lock up a game as well in this series. Those are the concerns, is not being able to win in game six at home in a closeout game against a wounded animal. And then in game seven, having the game locked up with 4 minutes to go and not getting a good possession, not getting a really good look or a good shot. You could say some of Smart's threes were open, but there's a reason why he was open for them.
Well, he took the last five shots of the game. I mean, how does Tatum, what does he need to do? Does he need to assert himself more in your mind?
Just go and get the ball. I mean, there's times where, you know, just go and just flash into open space and ask for the ball. And get the ball and just ISO and clear it out. and then go to work. I mean, it's just that simple.
Does he have that dog mentality, though? Does he have the mentality that it takes to lead his team to close out these situations?
I mean, when you've been blessed by Kobe Bryant and you win and you're wearing the arm sleeve, you for sure have it in you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You just got to bring it out. You got to find a way to bring that out because he has it in there. But to win a championship, it has to come out.
So does he have to tap into the Mamba more consistently, in your estimation, Monica?
I think that's fair to say, but I will point out they were running double teams at Jason last night, right? And so I'm not necessarily telling him to go score on four people, right? Although that would be amazing, Mamba mentality absolutely personified. But he's got to make winning and impactful plays down the stretch. Whether that is, to Amari's point, I'm flashing to wherever, I know the double's going to come, and then I can whip the ball quicker. And then if Marcus Smart has a clean look or whoever has a clean look and they don't hate it, then there's a little bit more of a conversation about Tatum's involvement, right? I think that's kind of the next step for me. I don't want to be looking around like, where are you? It's not necessarily that I need you to jack up every shot down the stretch.
Yeah, we talk about Smart being the emotional leader of this team, but isn't that up to Tatum as well?
It is, but you also, it's a very LeBron-like thinking, is you take what the defense gives you. And if I'm being doubled, if that guy's open, I have to trust my teammate. And that's what he was doing a lot in this series, and I bet that's what the Warriors are going to do as well in the finals.
Is that going to get it done in the finals? I mean, can he play like he did? Listen, he was the Larry Bird winner of MVP at the Eastern Conference Finals. Does he have to elevate, though, next round?
He does. He does have to elevate. And I do think the players around him are also going to elevate as well. So when he does make those passes, I do have confidence that the role players, the other guys on the Celtics are going to make the right play and score the basketball. But I do feel like Jason Tatum can do a lot or a little bit more because he's doing a lot already, right? But he can do a little bit more to exert himself in these finals.
All right. And he's not alone. All right. Coming up, it promises to be one of the most intense matchups of the finals. Can Marcus Smart actually stop Steph Curry? Those two have a little bit of history.
Ooh.
Golden State didn't like it either. That's coming up on Get Up. And Jimmy Butler, that three has been the most talked about play of Game 7. Was it a different shot, the true turning point of this game, though? We discuss next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up with a huge matchup to watch in the NBA Finals. Steph Curry against the reigning Defensive Player of the Year, Marcus Smart. Now, for his career, Curry is shooting 29% from the floor, with Smart as his closest defender. And since Steve Kerr took over in 2014, the Warriors have an offensive rating of 85 when Smart is the defender on Curry. That's the second lowest against any qualified defender during that span. And you'll remember this, the last time these two teams faced off in March. Smart dove for a loose ball, rolled up on Curry's left foot. Curry missed the rest of the regular season, and Steve Kerr called it afterwards, and I quote, a dangerous play. All right, so we are back with Alan Hahn. Monica McNutt is with us from Miami. So first of all, I mean, do you anticipate any bad blood between the two after that?
No, and Steph Curry kind of put it to rest right after that incident, too, where he said, I don't think he was trying to injure me. I don't think he was trying to hurt me. He was just making a basketball play. Some people think, oh, he dove into his leg. I don't know, Monica, we got to stop saying that players are trying to hurt each other, like the Ja Morant thing where he grabbed his knee and tried to rip his ligaments. I mean, come on. Like, nobody's doing that in a game. I think for Marcus Smart, he plays hard. He dove for the ball. It happened to land on Steph Curry's ankle. Steph Curry was going for the ball at the same time. I just think it was a hard play, and I expect to see that in the NBA Finals, hard plays like that.
Retweet. I mean, I thought it was nothing there when it happened initially. And I do think in this series, though, one thing that I will be curious is to see how it gets officiated. To me, the Celtics are the more willingly physical in terms of initiate the physicality team, and we've certainly seen that through this series. In Game 6, the Celtics and the Heat became the third most free throws shot in a postseason game this season, right? So I'm curious to see how the physicality plays out and what the refs will and will not allow.
And it's a really easy narrative, right, when you say, oh, Smart versus Steph. But when you really look at the way the Celtics play defense, it's not going to end up being that way.
Yeah, we might not get that because they switch so much. And that is also something to keep an eye on, too, is the versatility of the Celtics defense and the ability to stay in front of a great point guard who never stops moving like Steph Curry. I mean, that's what they do. And, you know, we see Derek White here in the highlights. What a great pickup he has been for them, and what a huge piece defensively also that he has been for them in the Heat series. And I think he'll continue to be because he's very smart. He's got great length. He's another one of those switchable pieces that they have. So to me, I don't know if on paper you'll say Marcus Smart versus Steph Curry. I just don't know how often we're going to see it because of how many times Steph Curry runs off screens and how many times the Celtics are willingly going to switch.
How do you see them playing Steph Curry, Monica?
Well, I mean, he's obviously a guy that gets 10 eyes on him, right? You're always keenly aware of where he is on the floor. But in that same breath, you also have to pay attention to what Draymond is doing because he sets the whole thing up, right? So I imagine them to look to bump Steph in terms of screens. If they're going to switch, they're going to switch out hard. If he's coming off of a curl, you know, they're going to give it a solid contest. And so just look for some of that. Think back to the Brooklyn series, right? Like Grant, Horford, Marcus Smart, always kind of check in KD as he was moving through the paint. So I think that's probably some of what we'll see versus Steph as well.
Yeah, you got to go back to that Nets series because it was just stunning, you know, the way that they defended Brooklyn.
Yeah, it was great. That was the tone setter, you know, that series. But
and confidence builder as well.
And also, if you think what the Mavs tried to do, they didn't have a shot blocker, but they would also try to take him off the line. Steph wasn't taking a ton of threes in that series. In fact, he did a lot of damage driving to the basket. But if the Celtics want to send him to the paint, Robert Williams and Al Horford are willingly waiting for him, which is something the Mavericks didn't have. Much different look that Steph's going to see.
Hey, Monica, is this a tougher defensive matchup for them than Miami would have been?
Oh, absolutely. But to Allen's point about Robert Williams, I just want to hammer down. I believe, and we got to double check this, Robert Williams has blocked 13 threes, right? So yes. In terms of his length and his timing, like that is a formidable force on the defensive end, the time lord living up to the name and playing through some pain. Now, to your question, Hannah, the Warriors versus the Heat, this is completely different animals. Honestly, versus the Heat, so much of what they got going when they played good ball was off of the turnovers. Going into last night, the Celtics averaged 12 turnovers and wins and 19 turnovers and losses. The 19 turnovers was like, here you go, Heat. Literally, light a fire. See what I did there? Right? But with the Warriors, on the other hand, there's so much movement. There are so many good shooters. We haven't even really talked about the emergence of Andrew Wiggins from last series and what that might look like in the finals. And he has some of the same size that you see with the Celtics. So, yeah, this is a tall task defensively. But what does a good defensive team love? An opportunity to stop a good offense.
There you go. I love that. All right, so we're going to let that sit right there. We're going to talk about Steph Curry because Amari Stoudemire told us last hour that he knows. He is positive that Steph Curry is thinking about winning the finals MVP, that absolutely motivates him. So, listen, if they win the championship, that's a fourth ring. You're already in elite company. Does he need that finals MVP, though, to put him in the very highest echelon of players?
Need, no. Want, yes. And I think because we've already put him at that echelon. And as we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, and last week, I believe, is really when we started the conversation, he wins his fourth ring. LeBron's got to understand that objects in the mirror are closer than they appear because for this generation, Steph Curry closes in on LeBron as far as generational player. Does he pass him? No. Does he equal him? No. But he gets a lot closer, and that's something that you have to consider. And then this, too, here, Hannah, is something to consider as well.
It's all about the rings, isn't it?
It is,
right?
But look at this elite company right now. Multiple MVPs, rings, and scoring titles. What's the one thing that Curry doesn't have, the rest do? Finals MVPs. That's the one thing that is not in his trophy case. And that's the one thing that, you know, as Amari did say, players do think about this stuff as much as we want to think they're all about team and winning. And no, it's also like, what else do I need to get into this room? It's always about status. It's always about that black card. I want to get in there. How do I get in that room? That's how you get in that room. Put that missing piece of hardware on your trophy case, and that's what he can do in this finals, that he can quiet a lot of people that also have said, well, he's never been finals MVP. He won because of Kevin Durant. He won because it's a great team. Well, maybe he'll win this one, and they'll say they won because of Steph Curry.
Although you can say, arguably, instead of Andre Iguodala, he could have won that MVP in the finals in 2015. Monica, I don't know, because Alan just said that he's going to kind of inch closer to LeBron, but if he's got that fourth ring, LeBron has four, he's finals MVP. I mean, where do you put him, Steph, in that discussion?
This is such a fun conversation. And for me right now, hypothetically, if he goes on to win this ring, the differentiating factor, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, but this is where I go, I think about LeBron before he actually won and the teams that he took to the finals and the load that he had to carry and the durability over the span of his career. I don't know that he missed an entire season with an injury or a large chunk of a season with an injury until, what, was that year 14 maybe? I don't know off the top of my head. So I just think their games are different. Their opportunities are different. When Steph got healthy, remember he had those ankle injuries early in his career? When he got healthy, the Warriors were on their way. But he also always had arguably Hall of Famers next to him, right? As important as he is to what the Warriors do. So I just kind of think about the load that LeBron has had to bear prior to the ring conversation.
Monica.
Okay,
Monica.
But this is really fun, what, too, because look at the other guy. Look at the other guy, Kevin Durant.
Well, he chose.
How do you stack him up against Kevin
Durant? He chose to go to the team across the river from us here. You know,
okay,
you understand? We're
that's
in Manhattan.
What I'm saying, though.
He chose to go to the team across the river, so
right? They
got their own set of circumstances they're dealing with
to
try to get a
championship. Where do you put Steph and Kevin Durant if Steph gets that fourth ring?
Yeah,
maybe a finals.
And I don't want to make this about, like, you know, well, now they win without KD, but I think Steph is already with LeBron, like in that LeBron. I don't know if Durant's there because of the championship aspect of this whole thing. And, you know, staying with one team, building with one team, you know, that's another story here. If I'm the Boston Celtics, are you looking at your future in the Golden State Warriors? Foreshadowing. But
what?
I also want to say, Monica, that when you said that the teams LeBron took to the finals before he won, it was one team. It was in 07. It was one team, and that was spectacular, no doubt about that. But then he went to Miami, and that was a super team, and they didn't win the first year, and they lost two of the four times they got to the finals on that super team. There are things to consider in this debate.
And that's what I'm saying. So if we took just the rings out in terms of success, right?
Yeah.
It's still the nod goes to LeBron, yes or no?
Yes. Oh, I said he didn't catch him. He didn't pass. He's not going to catch him or pass him, but the objects are closer than they appear.
Just making sure. I got you.
Right. We'll see.
Always keep me in check, Monica.
Yes.
No,
thank you, Monica. Because, Monica, I needed
this.
Some help. All right? We had to bring in the force from Miami, to keep you in check. All right, coming up, it's a star-studded NBA Finals, to be sure. But what is the one thing that must happen for the Celtics or the Warriors to win this series? We reveal that next on Get Up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, Amari is back at the table. Had to do a little radio. He is the man in demand. Alan Hahn here, Monica McNutt. Going back to Game 7 last night with the Heat trailing by 10. Jimmy Butler driving inside, finishing at the rim. He played 48 minutes, had 35 points, 9 rebounds. And then with 4.5 left to play, it's Jason Tatum spinning and hitting the shot over Butler. They answered every run as Miami tried to come back. And here goes Kyle Lowry inside for the score. It's a 5-point game now with a minute left. And then look at Max Strus somehow. I don't know how he got that to drop.
Kyle right? Lowry had his arms up like, wait, no. Oh, good shot.
Oh, man, but look at Butler on the rebound here off the smart miss. He's going the other way. What's he going to do? He's going to go for the win. He's going to shoot the three, and oh, it's off the front of the rim, and that was your ball game. He does not drive to the hoop. He's guarded by Al Horford, does not go for the tie. It is a Boston win, 196. Tatum, 26 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Now, per second spectrum tracking, Butler had a 29% chance only to make that pull-up three with under 20 seconds remaining. Entering Sunday, he took just 19 pull-up threes the entire season. He only made 6 of them, attempted a season-high 3 such shots in Game 7, and he made just one. He made the exact same shot in the first half. Yeah. And nobody is going to second-guess Jimmy Butler, are they, after the kind of series he had? But yet people were last night. So, Monica, first of all, you were there. What did you think? Did he do the right thing?
Absolutely, Hannah. I had no problem with the shot. I mean, I love this discourse of good shot, bad shot. It is all around whether or not the shot went in, because technically Max Strus took and hit an impossible shot not even a minute earlier. So Jimmy Butler absolutely has the green light. He is the catalyst of everything the Heat have been able to accomplish this year. He had a clean look, and you talk about being one of the most clutch players on that roster, you go for the kill.
But don't you go for the tie at home, Amari? What did you think?
No, scared money don't make no money, Hannah. We ain't got time for that.
Oh.
No.
Hey,
Jumping in, okay.
And I will say, too, like, the officiating. Y'all are saying he's going to attack Al Horford, and Al Horford was just going to get out the way? Like, you don't put that in the hands of the officials either.
And Monica, she's spot on with that, because you can't really challenge Al Horford during that stretch. You play 48 minutes. This guy's 6'10". 250. You want to try to attack him off the dribble, get to the basket? It's impossible. But when you got space between him and the 3-point line, and you can get your shot off, that's the best shot at the moment. So I'm cool with taking.
He's earned the right to take that shot.
Of course, but as Monica, I'll take what Monica said. And tired money doesn't make any either. And he would
there you go.
48 minutes. That was enough for him. 5 more. I'm not playing for no tie. No ties. I don't have a tie. Mari doesn't have a tie. There's no ties. Not Memorial Day weekend. There's no way if you play 48 minutes, are you thinking, let me tie this thing so we can go to overtime, or let me tie this thing so they have 15 seconds left to win it? No, I'm going to hit this bucket. I'm going to take all the wind out of their sails. This is a gut punch shot. If you make it, it's a legacy shot. And it was short, which also tells you legs probably tired. Weren't
yeah.
there, right?
Yeah, exactly. He was gassed. Yeah. And no wonder. Look what he did in Game 6. All right. Another controversial three, all right? So speaking of our friend Max Strus, his three was overturned in the opening minute of the third quarter. His foot was out of bounds. That three was overturned several minutes after the play. And Heat coach Eric Spoelstra had this to say about that.
I was in shock. I was asking, Quinny about that. The fact that it happened, 3 to 4, 5 minutes later in game time, that does change the context of how you're playing. We were starting to gain some momentum, and you feel like it's a, 7-8 point game, and all of a sudden it's a 13-point game. But look, that's not the reason we lost.
Wow, look at his expression there. I mean, he could hardly believe it. So that's taken off the board several possessions after the shot. I mean, how much does that mess with what you're doing? Do you understand what Spo was saying?
Yeah, I totally understand. It bothers you a lot.
It does.
It does, because when you're playing the game, you're seeing the score, and you're playing the score. There's sometimes where I would tell my guys, hey, let's keep the game close until the fourth quarter, and I'll take it from there, right? So when the game is tight, and you're seeing your score, whether you're +3 or -3 in this case, it does bother you, because you gotta manage the game. And you can't manage the game if the score is off, and then now it's changed 4 or 5 minutes later, it makes it difficult for you to try to manage that, the outcome.
Yeah, I mean, because this game was ebb and flow, right? So they had 7 double-digit leads, and Miami kept coming back and chipping away at that. Is a three-pointer make that much difference to you in the end, Alan?
I mean, it does. It didn't decide the game. I wouldn't say it decided the game, but you can understand the momentum feel of that point where you're in a timeout and suddenly you look up at the scoreboard and there's 3 points off the board. Now you're looking at a double-digit deficit where you thought you were a little bit closer, but you got to get the play right. Like, you want the play to be right. And so that's important. And the referees do this during a game. If they aren't sure, they'll signal for a review, and you have to wait till the next timeout to review it. And that's what they'll do back in the NBA offices, and then they'll watch it back, and then they'll let the referees know yes or no. Like, was it a 2 or a 3, or was his foot out of bounds? And they catch it barely out of bounds. You want to get it right. They got it right. It's just unfortunate. Now, if this happened in the fourth quarter with, like, 3 minutes to go, that's a much different conversation. Absolutely. But they had plenty of time to recover.
Right. I mean, Monica, you were there. Yeah. What's your perspective?
But this was the Eastern Conference Finals Game 7. It still, to me, is a much different conversation. I just think this is where we are with the technology of it all. But to me, reviewing whether a play was a 2 or 3 or whether the basket counted altogether are two different things. Like, I agree with Spo in terms of the window sort of elapsing. And if they needed to check whether that counted, I know this isn't necessarily the rules as they stand right now. Like, that should have been checked on the spot, because I just think you let that much time go off. And that's not fair. That's just not fair to either team. That's not how you play basketball. Like, no. Mm-mm. I don't like it.
I don't see that. Is that Scott Forst from the baseline? I couldn't see who the referee was, but I did not see him signal. And then the other referee you see right behind Robert Williams is checking.
Yeah.
So one of them had to have felt like something was off and wanted to make sure,
so you gotta,
because you see,
and you gotta acknowledge it in the moment then. Yeah.
But you're saying stop it in the moment.
Yeah, if he was out of bounds, huh? He's out of bounds.
So I was going to say, yeah, NFL review, stop it, review, look at the tape.
But if you're going to stop the game,
but you can't put the points on the board and then take them off. I mean, they did it, but I would rather get it right than go back and change the score.
Yeah, that must have been like this strange moment, right? As you were there, I mean, there was so much happening. What was it like being there? And then that happened, and they called it over the right. They announced it.
Yep.
As he was at the line.
I mean, the crowd, what are you going to do? The crowd obviously acknowledges it, suppose ticked off, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, all right. What you going to do? Well, it's the Celtics going on to the finals.
That's what you're going to do.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right, exactly. Caesars Sportsbook has the Warriors as a slight favorite to win this series. Game 1, Thursday in San Francisco, where Golden State is a 3.5-point favorite as they open this up at home. Celtics are the dogs. What do they need to do, Alan, to beat the Warriors?
They need to continue. One trend for the Warriors that's a dangerous one is turnovers. And the Celtics can turn you over. Obviously, their defense is fantastic. And to me, it's defending the paint, because you're going to take the three away, and then get those turnovers and turn them into points. Get quick points. Don't let their defense get set. They are good at doing that. Now, the other issue, of course, is that the Celtics have a predilection for turning the ball over as well. So this could be a series of who wins the turnover battle.
Top 2 teams in defensive efficiency. All right, put your coaching hat on, Coach Stoudemire.
Yep, got it on.
Tell us what the Celtics need to do.
The Celtics, it's going to be difficult, right? Because Golden State is such a great offensive team. And you have so many threats on the court, whether it's Jordan Poole, whether it's Klay Thompson, with this Draymond Green being a facilitator, and obviously Steph, you know, being great in his own space. So it's going to be a difficult situation for the Celtics. But I feel like if they focus more on trying to contain Steph Curry, they have other perimeter guys that can maintain their one-on-one defense with everyone else. But Steph Curry is that factor where you got to try to control him. If not, it's going to be a long series.
I mean, listen, Monica, you've been covering the East. You've seen the Celtics at their very best. What do they need to do to win?
I think a lot of it is going to have to do with if they can take advantage of the glass, both offensively and defensively, right? Defensively, they're long. They're going to switch. They're going to do their best to contest Steph. Okay, cool. Part one is done. If he misses, they can get killed on second chance opportunities by the Warriors, because oftentimes for the Warriors, a second chance opportunity ends up with a shot from behind the 3-point line, which becomes even more deflating, not to mention the points that go on the board. So to me, the glass is going to be huge on both sides for the Celtics, both defensively and offensively.
And we know Jordan Poole can have huge games in that regard as well. All right. Back in just a second, we're going to have a WNBA doubleheader for you tomorrow night. Diana Taurasi and the Mercury taking on Candace Parker and the defending champion Sky at 7 Eastern on ESPN2. And then on ESPN, last season's MVP Jonquel Jones leads the Sun against 2020 MVP Aja Wilson and the Aces. And coming up, a furious Miami comeback with a dramatic ending. We go back, we revisit Jimmy Butler. Did he make the right decision in the game's biggest moment as Get Up continues?
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back to Game 7 of the Celtics and the Heat, where Jimmy Butler misses the go-ahead three-pointer with under 20 seconds left, does not drive to the hoop, does not play for the tie. Celtics hang on to win 196 to advance to the NBA Finals. And per second spectrum, Butler had a 29% chance only to make that pull-up three with under 20 seconds left. Entering Sunday, he took just 19 pull-up threes for the entire season, made only 6 of them, attempted a season-high 3 pull-up threes in Game 7. Now, he had just made 1 in the first half. Jalen Rose up early joining us. Thank you. Thank you. Your former teammate here in the house, right? From your time in Phoenix.
I see you, Stat, doing your thing. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Jalen, listen, you were there last night. You saw it firsthand. What did you think in the moment when he launched that three, and what have you thought since then?
So, obviously, Jimmy Butler was terrific. And anytime you have 82 points in the final 2 games of a series, in particular versus a great defensive team like the Boston Celtics, the way he played in Game 6 and 7 and even playing 48 minutes. But the reason why the Miami Heat got back in the game, if you attribute it to football, is that they kept running it. They kept running the ball. And what ended up happening is when Jimmy Butler was in transition, I was saying, take him, take him, take him. And then when he pulled up, I can't lie, it was a buzzkill. Now, if you make that shot, it's historic. And I know the implications of making a big shot for a guy like Jimmy Butler the way he's played in these playoffs. They were depleted. Tyler Hero wasn't much of a factor because he was injured. Kyle Lowry was just throwing his body around, being a veteran, taking charges, flopping, just doing whatever he could. Bam Adebayo was terrific scoring the ball. He actually looked like you a little bit more, Stat, in that game. But for Jimmy Butler, how many times have you seen him drive the ball and get a three-point play? That would have been an option. You have Al Horford on his heels. If you score that and you tie the game, the Boston Celtics get a lot more pressure because they were struggling to score. So I wanted him to try to extend the game, but I know he was fatigued. I know they were shorthanded, and I know he was going for the kill shot. And I'm not necessarily mad at it.
Amari, you've been supportive of his decision all morning long.
Yeah. I think it was a good shot, from my opinion, because obviously, you know, when you're tired, your legs are not as quite there, right? You saw the shot being a little short when he shot it, so you know his legs were fatigued. And it's even harder now when you're going against, you're trying to drive a 6'10 guy who's, you know, double your size as far as weight as well. It's a tough finish, you know. And you want to try to get the game over with. Like, if he makes this shot, everyone's happy. The Miami Heat may be going to the finals. But because he missed a shot, now it's like, well, should he shoot that? Analytics say, well, 29% shot, not a good shot to shoot. As a player, you want to try to win that game. So for me, I have no problem with that shot. I think it was a good shot.
It could have been legendary, right? But it wasn't.
Yep.
Because it didn't drop. In fact, it was short. So, I mean, Jalen, does a conventional wisdom say you go for the tie on your home floor?
Just think about the reasoning my brother Amari and many people are going to say that he should have took the shot. They're saying that he should have took the shot because he was going for the win. The game wasn't going to be over. That's the first thing. The second thing, if he was shooting the ball and he was tired, that means it's a lower percentage shot that he's going to make a long three because he's not a member of the Splash Brothers. That's Jimmy Butler. The thing that makes Jimmy Butler great is that he works the game, Hannah. He looks for contact. Mm. He gets to the free throw line. He takes layups. He's a physical player on the perimeter that could get you big time points. And here's the last point I want to make. If you tie that game, the Boston Celtics were struggling mighty. Marcus Smart still doesn't realize that he was open for a reason. Like, he missed, like, their last, what, four or five shots. You see what I'm saying? And so now all of a sudden, you look up at the score and you have a chance to take the game. Like, the better team won. The more talented team won.
Mm.
Sure.
But Miami had a chance to actually steal the game and steal the series. And another way to do that is if Jimmy Butler finds a way to take a two right there.
Hey, man, and you mentioned, I mean, Marcus Smart took the last five shots in that game for the
five.
Celtics.
Got it.
It was an 11-0 run by the Heat. I mean, go ahead. Doesn't this concern you going into the finals?
Well, here's the thing. Like, for Boston, they got it done. And by the way, Hannah, I'm actually old enough to remember when people were like, break up Tatum and Brown, which is ridiculous. That's another subject for another day. But with that being said, them getting over the hurdle and finally making it to the NBA Finals is an amazing accomplishment. Ime Udoka in his first year. How about Brad Stevens going up to the front office, bringing back Al Horford, bringing in Derek White, who was terrific off the bench. And anytime you're the Boston Celtics and your bench outscores the Miami Heat when they have the sixth man of the year, like, you're building out your roster. But defending the Golden State Warriors, that's going to be vastly different. They come at you in multiples. It's not just Jimmy Butler going one-on-one or Bam Adebayo being terrific in the paint. It's the Splash Brothers spreading the floor. Klay Thompson knocking down shots. It's Jordan Poole getting it off the dribble. And so it's such a different dynamic defending the Golden State Warriors. But it's going to be a great series. It's going to be a close series. It's going to be a tightly contested series. And I can't wait to get it started.
Yep. Do you want to see the Celtics be better at closing out? I mean, and you even have to go back to game six of that series when they had a chance to put Miami away on their home floor and didn't do it.
Absolutely right. And I think well, even Coach. Go ahead, Rosé.
Rosé all day.
No, I'm sorry. Let me tell you the beautiful thing about being a professional. This is my 20th consecutive year covering the NBA Finals on television. I can't even see y'all. I've been doing this segment the whole time. I can't even see y'all. So, Hannah, I didn't know if you were talking to Amari or if you were talking to me. So, I'm sorry, Steph. Please continue.
All right,
No, you're good.
Okay, Jalen, let me ask you a question. Jalen Rose, or Rosé, as we've come to learn, is your nickname. Rosé, Jason Tatum. I know he won the Larry Bird MVP, but this is something we've been talking about this morning while you were getting just a little bit of shut eye. Does he have to elevate his game beyond what he did in these Eastern Conference Finals in the finals? Does he have to play even better?
He can, Hannah, and he will. And there are times when Jason Tatum is almost like his barber. He doesn't miss. But then there are times when he's off the dribble, he gets a little loose with the ball and he turns it over. Right? And then sometimes he goes pedestrian and doesn't attempt shots. And I can't lie, being at the game, when I saw him, and I saw him with the Kobe Bryant 24 wristband, man, we lost Kobe way too soon. Like, I thought about Devin Booker last year, who was channeling, you know, what Kobe, the lessons that he learned while he was in the finals. Now to see Jason Tatum do the exact same thing, you know, just truly rest in peace to the Black Mamba. But absolutely he's going to have to be the best he can be on this stage because he's going against the all-time best. He's going against the Splash Brothers. He's going against Draymond Green. He's going against Steve Kerr. He's definitely going to have to elevate. But for these Boston Celtics who don't have a player that's been to the NBA Finals, I think they're ready to make this a long series.
All right, so he was trying to channel that Mamba mentality, mm-hmm. but you have called on him this morning to not be as passive as he has been.
Yeah, especially down the stretch, closing out quarters and closing out halves in the games. You got to be aggressive. You got to be the guy to try to close out. So those last 2 minutes of a game, you want to be the one that kind of facilitate the offense. And you want to get the best shot possible. And if Tatum is able to now be assertive in that space where he can dominate that game down the stretch and close out these games, then that's the level that I think the Boston Celtics need for him to get to.
All right. So, Jay, I've heard you say a couple of times that this is going to be a tight series. Caesars Sportsbook currently has the Warriors as a slight favorite to win. Game one is Thursday in San Francisco. So in game one, Golden State right now is a 3.5-point favorite. Jay, Rosé, whatever you want us to call you, how do you see this going? Make your picks. It's never too early.
I believe watching the Boston Celtics lose game six on their home floor, that would have shown me that they were championship ready against a veteran-laden Golden State Warrior team. Mm. However, I was truly pleased that they were able to win the East the way they did, even though the Heat came back. But it also showed me that they ain't ready to beat the Warriors just yet. I think the Golden State Warriors who've been resting and watching this series, who have that championship level of pedigree. And Steph Curry, let me tell y'all something. He knows that he needs to win a final MVP. He know we having these conversations about him elevating. So I believe the Golden State Warriors get it done in six.
All right, Amari, pick up that point about the finals MVP and then give us your pick.
Yeah, I think Steph Curry's for sure thinking about that. It's not going to change it, but I do think that the Boston Celtics are going to win this series, and I think it's going to go in seven. And it's a battle between the coaches, Steve Kerr and Ime Udoka.
I think you and Big Perk are the only people going for the Celtics. All right, I'm going for the Warriors in six. I'm on that train with you. Rosé all day. Jalen Rose, thank you. First Take coming up next. Does Stephen A. have any issue with Jimmy Butler's decision in the final moments to launch that three? It's First Take with Molly, Stephen A., the aforementioned Big Perk, coming up next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Another Game 7 tonight. It's Rangers Hurricanes 8 Eastern on ESPN and the app. I'm Anna Storm in for Greeny. Thanks for watching and have a great day. First Take coming up now.